You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of December 3rd, 2014, and a new challenger appeared and instantly fell off the stage.
Yeah, immediately. Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Alborg.
My name is Scott Juster.
And we are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site for serious but not humorless discussions of games. And today, that game in question is Super Smash Brothers 4.
For Wii U.
For Wii U. And 3DS, I believe is like the official title.
But I mean, this is the 4 Wii U half.
It is, yes. We are playing. We have been playing some Super Smash Brothers Wii U. We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
Our inability to get the GameCube controller adapter.
We talked about not playing it last week. This week we'll talk about playing it.
I said this time next week we will have played Super Smash Brothers. Unfortunately, we are playing with the plebeian controls.
Ugh.
So none of that.
That
explains our inability to dominate the online multiplayer scene.
Ugh.
You and I don't normally talk about fighting games as these types of debriefs.
Yeah. Well, and many would say that even after this episode, we still do not talk about fighting games.
There's our particular niche. There's a certain skill that comes along with understanding fighting games. I think generally speaking, Smash Brothers isn't considered a top tier, high level strategy fighting game.
Whatever, it's at Evo, man.
It is a quote unquote baby game, as many people
four
say.
Four babies. To be fair, though, Smash has gotten far more legit in the past few years.
Yeah.
And I think largely because of the community's interest in it.
The Smash community.
Yeah. And not in any way thanks to Nintendo, because they usually try to thwart the community at every turn.
Which they seem to continue to be doing, apparently.
And
you're on a
roll. Getting it in Evo and, you know, getting, I think Twitch has been a huge thing for it. Like, you know, Smash Brothers, I feel like Smash Brothers, what legitimacy Smash has is recently gotten and aided by the kind of Twitch universe that we live in.
Yeah. So with that in mind then, I mean, based upon your experiences so far, is this the type of game that you think will latch on and continue that trend, or will people stick with Smash Brothers Melee?
I mean, that's the big question, right? Like, Brawl, I did not like Brawl.
A lot of people didn't like Brawl. You weren't the only one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not played at Evo for a reason, right?
Well, and like, there's this whole thing with Brawl called, I think it's called Project M or something, where people are hacking Brawl to like make it more like Melee.
Interesting.
So they can use the new characters and stuff.
And balancing it and getting rid of some of the bogus.
I know
one of the big complaints from Brawl was that they had that trip mechanic.
Yeah, that was like emblematic of everything that was wrong with Brawl, I think.
And so, refresh our minds, the trip mechanic would cause someone to fall down just randomly?
Yes.
When running?
Yes.
But only when running?
I believe so.
But and not consistently?
No, just randomly.
That's okay.
That's not real tournament friendly, I guess.
Yeah.
But I feel like this game has a chance to kind of put Smash in this
on the map, ladies and gentlemen.
On the game board, which we'll talk about in a little bit. I think because this happens with Street Fighter a lot. Like every time a new Street Fighter comes out, it's like, okay, well, what's going to be the marquee game in Evo this year? First it was Street Fighter 4, then it's Super Street Fighter 4, then it's Super Ultra Street Fighter 4, then, you know, on and on and on. It's not like Dota or League where the tweaks are seasonal and the base game kind of remains the same.
Right.
You know, they put out a new game every once in a while. Not as often, you know, as something like Call of Duty, but, you know, once every few years people have to readjust to a new game.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like maybe this could be that moment for Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Especially since they only put out a Smash Brothers game, like, you know, once every 7 to 8 years or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
And while maybe Nintendo isn't as supportive as other companies, especially in regards to Twitch and stuff, this does look visually nice. There's a lot of cool camera control.
Yeah.
So I could see people doing Twitch streams really well. And they do have the built-in sort of replay spectator mode in the game, which I think maybe doesn't lend itself right now to watching the quote-unquote pros really bring the heat.
Yeah.
It does give you an opportunity, though, to watch other people play, to watch people excel at specific characters.
Mm.
You know, the ability to say, I want to watch a one-on-one match with Ness and, you know, Luma or something, and you'll be able to watch it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think the what George is describing is you basically have a character select board, but instead of you picking those characters to play as, you're picking them to watch,
right.
And so it just filters those people down. And I think this may be in there, and we just didn't see it, but I think once the game starts taking off some more, like having a ladder. Like, I want to see these top people playing, or, like, alert me when these top people are playing. Because, you know, you click on Rosalina, and, like, it's kind of a crapshoot. Like, are you going to get a good one or a bad one? Or, like, you know, who knows?
Yeah. Because what we really want to see are, say, the top 5% of the players.
Yeah. Or, hilariously, the bottom 5%. Like, to see people, like, you know, just... I don't know. I think there's a lot of potential to go into detail with that sort of stuff. I don't know if it's quite there yet, but, you know, this game is going to be an evolving game.
Right.
So I think that's good. How do we even talk about Smash Brothers? Like, what do we even say about it? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's funny because I think a lot of people you ask now, oh, what do you think of the new Smash Brothers? Their immediate response is, it's more Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
And that's sort of all that anyone's ever really wanted, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the reason I was so excited about Smash Brothers is because I played so much of Melee as a kid. It was just so much a part of my life. A lot of the sort of couch co-op with friends experiences that are fundamental to how I envision what couch co-op should be. So the idea of Smash coming back and saying, oh, it's just more Smash, that's great. That's exactly, that's awesome. That's exactly what I want. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's difficult because, you know, we could go down the list of all of the changes, right? Mm-hmm. We know that they've got, you know, a host of new characters. Mm-hmm. They got a bunch of new maps.
Yeah.
They got some new mechanics. They got rid of tripping. They got rid of ledge grab.
That is an interesting thing to me because that's such grab. And I've only slightly experienced this, I guess, but so explain to me how it works again.
So in Melee and Brawl, ledge grab guarding was basically the strategy of only one person can hang onto a ledge at any given time.
Yeah.
And if it was almost like a sort of autocorrect, if you were to jump near the ledge, you would automatically grab onto the ledge and come right back into the battle.
Mm.
So people would grab the ledge before their opponents could reach it to force them to get KO'd.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a high-level strategy. That was something that people did at top tiers.
Mm-hmm.
And now the new ledge grab is such that when you're ledge grabbing and somebody else grabs on instead, you get sort of pushed back slightly. You can recover, but it's basically like, hey, one at a time, take your turns, and then go.
I think a change like that is... I mean, it's hard. It sounds really dumb, but like... That is a huge change.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, for competitive Super Smash Brothers, like, that is the equivalent of, I don't know, changing the way, you know, grenade throwing works in Halo or something like that.
Yeah,
it's
a minor thing, but that would play such a significant role in tiers of play, right?
Yeah, every tournament. Like, the moment you get good at Smash Brothers, even, like, passably good, you realize that you should hang around on the ledge for a little while just to start denying opponents.
Right.
And it's like changing that is a huge
thing.
It is
kind of like denial, I think.
Yeah.
In terms of the MOBA language.
I mean, like, the MOBA language has just formalized that term. Like, you know, Mario Kart is, this iteration of Mario Kart is all about coin denial. Like, getting coins even if you're at max coins because it denies coins to the people below you.
Yeah.
Like, and so, I mean, like, that stuff has been around for, like, years and years and years, but it's... People are now conditioned to look for it a little bit more, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big deal. And I haven't dug into it enough to, like, figure out all the little mechanical details. It still feels slower than Melee.
Oh, yeah.
Not as slow as Brawl, but slower than Melee.
Yeah, it's hard to know, I guess. And I think certain characters are tweaked slightly.
Yeah.
I kind of wish we had played Melee, like... moments before playing this game, because I feel like you probably could learn quite a few things.
Yeah. I mean, I played probably several hundred hours of Super Smash Brothers Melee.
Right.
Like, you know, I put a lot of time into that game, and just hearing people talk about it is, it's almost like Nintendo accidentally created the perfect game. Like, they didn't really, like, mean for it, but, like, it's still, like, 10 plus years down the line, like, kind of looked at as the standard experience for that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like StarCraft 1.
Yep.
Like, they created StarCraft 1, kind of, like, made it, and then it's like, oh, well, crap, how do we follow this up?
It took them a while.
It took them a while, and they're still in the process of doing it, and I don't know if they'll ever kind of you know, I don't know what the community will look like ultimately, but I think that is a good model for what the Smash Brothers community might look like.
Yeah.
Some of the big changes that I enjoyed are the 8-player Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah, we played with 6 computers. Yeah. We don't have 6 friends. There's nothing
around. No, just... No. I just have one in my closet here. Jimmy, get out of here! Super Smash Brothers!
That was fun. Yeah, that's really cool.
I think the... I'm of two minds of whether they should have just let 8 players happen on any stage, because they limit you to certain very large stages.
Yeah.
And they allow you to play the large stages on, you know, less than 8-player Smash Brothers.
Right.
I feel like
even though maybe they shouldn't.
I know, that's what I feel. I feel like it should almost be inverse. Like, I feel like maybe they should disqualify some of the huge stages for the small battles and allow you, hey, if you want to play 8 players in Final Destination, go for it. You know, like that sort of thing.
I agree. I mean, it's outrageous. It's a weird experience, but whatever. Like, who cares? Yeah. It's not. No one goes into an 8-player thing, into a small map, not expecting that.
Yeah.
I think part of the reason it was defaulted off, though, was a lot of players will just hit random. Mm. And if you randomize map selection and then you include all the small maps, then that's not great. But a simple toggle switch would have been fine.
Yeah.
And maybe there is. Maybe I just missed the toggle switch.
Yeah. I think having all those people on the screen, and especially if there's no teams, like it's every person for itself. I think it's almost like you imagined this is how it would be the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's very like, it's exactly what I imagined 8-player Smash would be.
Yes.
You know, it's like, it's that much more chaos, and like the mechanics don't really change. Like, you have to deal with being able to kind of take in the entire screen a little bit more.
Especially with some of the crazy items.
Yeah,
like you'll see a huge Pokemon show up and you're like, well, time to go to the left side of the screen.
Yeah, I think that's, well, you know, probably there is probably a technical limitation, like
that's true.
On a, you know, on a standard definition screen, you probably couldn't display those things without becoming like blocky, unreadable messes.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, where you actually need the extra resolution. I don't know if that's true or not. It could be. How about some of the characters? Who are some of your new favorites?
New favorites. Yeah. I'm definitely a big fan of Robin. You know, I was going into... I remember when we first started seeing the new characters announced, I was like, oh, I'm going to get real good with Rosalina and Luma and Wii Fit Trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And I played both of them, and they're fun, but they have a much higher skill cap than I expected, especially Wii Fit Trainer.
Yeah,
Wii Fit Trainer. Both of them seem like they could be really strong characters, but there's just a level of complexity there that is a little bit daunting.
Mm-hmm.
Rosalina Luma in particular,
mm-hmm.
like that, being able to send the Luma is awesome and call it back. But, you know, I expected her to play more like Ice Climbers, where they can sort of naturally separate, and it's not, she's not like Ice Climbers at all, I don't think.
Well, I mean, it's...
in the sense that you're playing two people.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it's more... I think it's, like, the logical next step of Ice Climbers. Like, Rosalina, has...
The evolution of the Ice Climber.
Is Ice Climbers in this one?
No.
Maybe we didn't...
There's no Ice Climbers.
Even as an unlock? Because I know we haven't unlocked
it. No Ice Climbers.
Oh, good.
DLC.
Screw those Ice Climbers. I liked Rosalina a lot, just a few... You know, the few times I played her, and I could see getting good at that, because... Like, what George was describing was, you can throw your little Luma star, and it mirrors your moves, including the smash moves. So, if you're doing a smash move, it's also doing it. And so, you can throw it behind your opponent, and your opponent is immediately pincered.
Yeah, like, sandwiched.
Yeah, so it's like... But then, you are dividing your attention between two characters as well. And, you know, Rosalina's not the fastest, so you have to be a little bit more tactical with how you do that.
Well, and the range of Luma isn't great either, and that's true for Rosalina as well. Mm-hmm. Like, when Luma and Rosalina are attached, it's slightly extended because Luma is right in front of you.
Yeah.
So your perceived range is higher. You basically have your range when you throw Luma out, which can be really effective if you know how to use it, and really punishing if you don't.
Yeah. I might play around a little bit more with Rosalina. I think there's a lot to be mined there.
Yeah. I do like Robin a lot.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Robin.
A cool character. Yeah. Mm. The charge ability, she seems like a fun character for sort of mid to short range.
Mm.
Like, she's got incredibly powerful full charged special attack.
Yeah.
But all of the other abilities are relatively short range, and then she just seems like she's got a lot of variability and cool movement.
Mm.
You know, she's maybe not like a Marth in terms of the crazy amount of sword damage and to and fro dashing, but she seems neat.
She does a lot of damage, though. Yep. Like her moves do a lot of base damage. Definitely, like, as I lovingly refer to them, all of the anime bullshit characters, like, tend to do a lot of, like, normal base damage. Yeah. Like, I remember back in the old days, like, Marth would, a standard no charge smash attack would do like 20x%. Yeah. And it's like, you know, that it's a certain type of play that you have to get good at countering, because you can't just run in at them. But I think Robin's charge shot is the most interesting for me, because it goes through enemies if it's fully charged.
Yep. I mean, it's a very long charge.
Yeah.
But you can always let it go early and have it do different tiers of damage as well. Like, the second tier charge does an X attack when it hits. Mm-hmm. So you can actually lock more than one person in that as well.
Yeah.
And both that and the flame attack let her set up another combo. Like, follow it up with her sort of heal grab ability, things like that.
I think, to like, early on, that's one of the biggest changes in this Smash Brothers, is that there's a lot of characters with charge up moves.
Yep.
You know, back in the day it was what, like, Samus and Donkey Kong, and now Lucario has one for his fireball. Mm-hmm. Robin, Samus and Donkey Kong, obviously Little Mac has a charge up, Captain Falcon has his traditional one. Like, I mean, there's just a lot more
where they can move around and then use the ability.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot more, like, if you are willing to put yourself at risk for charging for a little bit, you can then stockpile your move.
I mean, to that end, it's actually never been harder, I think, to be able to read the battle quickly.
Yeah.
Like, being able to know, you know, say, for example, Wii Fit Trainer. Mm. Wii Fit Trainer has a weird ability where she charges, but then you have to hit at the right time, almost like rhythm-based.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then she's extra powerful.
Mm.
Like, being able to quickly read, oh, I have to be more careful around Wii Fit Trainer because she's doing more damage right now.
Mm.
Or notice that she's charging and go try to punish for that.
Yeah.
Like, all of that's really interesting. And you get characters like Shulk, which is one of the weirdest characters, where
Shulk
from Chrono Cross. If Shulk hits the
Xenoblade.
Yeah, sorry, Xenoblade.
I wish Chrono
Trigger. Yeah, that'd be sweet.
That would be great.
If you hit the special ability, you can tap it and get and increase certain stats and decrease other stats.
Yeah.
Like, that level of complexity is really high. Like, I did not expect a character to be that complicated. And it's not the only one. There's a bunch of characters that, in certain circumstances, an aspect of them, you know, they're punished. Any risk is coupled with a punishment as well.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. I mean, that's fun design, but it makes it really hard to read.
The character roster has just gotten ridiculous, too. Like, there's just so many people.
And you have to know all of them. Like, if you are playing Shulk, you need to be able to quickly read at a glance, it says speed, therefore their defenses are down, or, I can't launch them as high this time, or, I can launch them extra high, so maybe that's what I need to do.
Like,
that level of complexity and having to know other characters and what they do, and the items, if you're playing with items, like a baby, then you also need to know that stuff.
Let's talk about the items a little bit. I felt like, you know, Brawl was, to me, meant to play with items, because they just went nuts, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they, like, the summon items, like, you can pick up little trophies, and, like, random anime people will jump in and start doing stuff.
And to me, those are always some of the most fun, just because you, look, it's Waluigi, look, it's whoever.
I think that was, I mean, taking that stuff from Brawl without some of the weird mechanical stuff that they did was fine. It's interesting that as the series has gone on, the items have just gotten, like, more and more crucial. Like, there's just a lot of stuff going on. It's like, it's the summon items. Like, summon items didn't really exist in Melee.
Yeah.
They existed a lot in Brawl, but no one really played it. And now this one, there's, like, any kind of, like, not just from a Pokeball, like, you pick up a trophy and some weird Pokemon that looks like a robot will come out or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like, the huge Pokemon that look like dinosaurs will pop out.
The legendary Pokemon.
Yeah, it's like, that dynamic makes the items more about just, like, clearing the board rather than, like, I always think of the classic item of, like, the laser sword.
Yep.
Like, that seems like it's an augment to your base ability set rather than something that is crazy bullshit that happens on the screen.
Right.
You know, I feel like this is much more towards the let's get as wacky as possible.
Yeah, and I think they know that, right? Yeah. Like, that's why they give you the ability to augment how many items are dropping at any given time, which items. I mean, the ability, and this has been true of Melee and Brawl as well. You can select which items you want and don't want. Mm. And I think some of the new items are actually more interesting than the old items.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's like a Star Fox jet in Melee or Brawl, perhaps, where you pick up three pieces and then definitely you could aim at someone and then fire your whatever beam or whatever.
Yeah.
They added a new one of those that fires a horizontal beam, but you can't jump when you have it. So if you get knocked out or somebody else picks it up, then that's another risk or another risk of composing that item in the first place. That's more interesting to me than the old one. So the being able to go in there and swap in and out the items that you do like and don't like, I think is crucial.
Yeah.
And I've already done that, right? Like for me, even if you're playing with friends, I think a low item drop is the best, the most fun way, because it's basic fighting, and then when something drops, everyone sort of rushes to it. Everybody wants that Pokeball because there's only three. You know, we played matches where it's like four Pokemon on the screen at once.
Yeah,
not including the Pokemon that we are actually playing as.
Yeah, I was thinking about just the audience of this game,
because
you brought it up. You were, you know, saying maybe the best way is have some items, not a huge amount. I'm trying to figure out, put myself in the position of someone that casually plays these games or just casually plays games in general, like with something like Mario Kart, it's like, okay, press this button to go fast, press this button to stop, never press the stop button, here's the item button, you're done.
Yep.
Like, it seems like Smash Brothers, like, there's just several more layers of things to have to keep track of. Like, your attack button is also your pickup item button, and you can throw it or place it. You know, there's a few more things to do. Like, have you played this game with people that are not video game players generally?
No, not really.
I feel like this is like...
Do you think it's unwelcoming to them?
Almost. Like, I mean, the number of items starts to reach a, like, MOBA-like quality. Like, here's a bomb that does a weird area of effect. Like, it's been in there for a long time. It's the Star Fox bomb.
Yeah.
But here is, you know, something that looks kind of similar to a Smash ball, but it does kind of quadrant damage. Like, it goes up, down, left, right. And here's a sword that does a whirlwind. But in order to do the whirlwind, you need to know how to do a Smash attack. Right. Like, here, it's just... Like, there's a level of complexity that I think doesn't exist in a lot of other what we consider like casual fun time party Nintendo games.
Yeah.
That I feel like this is even the casual mode of playing with items, it caters more towards people who are willing to kind of memorize those and make use of the items.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you know, going in, we know what all the items do
pretty much
almost immediately.
Yeah. I mean, all the traditional ones anyway, like, you know, I don't know what all of the weird trophy things do, but if I see a Kirby Star Wand, I know exactly how to use that thing.
Right. You know, I think this is where a lot of the extra content in Smash comes from, right? I think the sort of quote unquote single player aspect of this is just the myriad of weird little mini games. You know, we played a board game component of it that, it's kind of neat, actually. You go around the board, you collect strengths and stat augmentations, you collect champions, and then at the end of this board game experience, you have a crazy free-for-all, and you can only play as the characters that you've got with all the stats that you bring into it.
Yeah.
It's a fun, clever way, and I think there's actually enjoyment in there for people who take it seriously, but that's the type of experience that's perfect for someone who doesn't really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, they sort of go around the board, they pick up some abilities, they play a few matches of Smash, and then they're done, and it takes about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I mean, the challenges are the same, right? Like, you can participate in some challenges. Each challenge that you do, you can choose the difficulty of. Same with in the classic mode, I believe, as well. Easy, normal, hard. You can augment the difficulty so that if you really don't know what you're doing and you're fighting against, you know, computers that are, you know, at level one in terms of their AI smarts, then... I think that's the experience that is meant to be consumed if you don't know what you're doing. You know, you slowly learn what items are around there. You slowly get a feel for what's happening, and then you jump into Smash when you're ready for it. And I think a lot of people won't ever jump into the actual Smash. Like what you and I do, where it's, you know, or coworkers, where it's like, okay, Final Destination, no items, let's go. Right? Like, a lot of people will never play that way. A lot of the younger audience who will pick up Smash because they like Kirby or Pikachu or Pokemon, right? And I think that's okay. I think there's a shit ton of content in this game.
Yeah.
For a fighting game that is actually really impressive.
I think, totally fair, the amount of content is amazing. And it just compounds. Like, you don't really lose any of the stuff from the previous games. You just get new stuff.
Yeah.
one thing that I have never really got on my soapbox on about Smash Brothers is that it is, even, you know, it's definitely not as revered as like Street Fighter or something, but it is very unique. Like the idea of, you know, tilt versus hold, and, you know, each attack is a smash, you know, every attack that you do can also be a smash attack. It's like a double of every type of move you can do.
Yeah.
It's very unique just in video games in general. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not quarter circle based. It's not like hold back, then go forward like MK. Like, it's its own thing.
Yeah. It's so much more timing.
Yeah. And it's also like every character's move mechanics, you know, to execute the move is the same. So it's all about knowing when to use it.
Right.
Like, it's not about memorizing weird arcane combos of buttons to actually like start a combo. It's about understanding how the moves work to chain them together into combos.
Yeah. What circumstances do you want to
you know,
reflect and things like that?
I mean, there's a certain level of, I like that a lot because it cuts through the kind of memorization point of things. And it's like, okay, well, in order to be good at this game, you actually need to understand the context of the game that you're playing rather than just kind of memorizing things better than the other person. And that's the case for all fighting games, but I think Smash does it in an interesting way that is friendly to a large number of people. And that puts an emphasis on the actual mechanics of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the only ones out there that does that. I mean, I don't know, people will throw out like Power Stone or something like that every once in a while, but like,
I think
there's a unique quality to it that sometimes gets played down. I actually like the fighting in Smash quite a bit. Like, I was reading on Twitter, someone was saying like, oh, I read the manual for Super Smash Brothers for Wii U. I forget who it was. It was someone that we both know on Twitter, but they were saying that
Obama.
It was
President Barack Obama.
Barack Obama was saying that he finally understands how to actually do a smash attack.
Right.
And like, after all these, like, this person had played multiple Smash Brothers games not knowing how to do that.
I don't think he's someone I would follow on Twitter.
I don't know who it was, but I was like, wow.
No, Obama's a scrub.
Knowing that opens up this game for you.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like, and knowing that, you know, holding down the attack button charges up the attack into a smash attack is like a fundamental thing that is not transferable from other games because other games don't operate like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not how Ryu operates.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about quarter circles and stuff rather than holding down a button plus a direction.
I think it's a testament to how good the game Melee was.
Yeah.
That all of that memory, even though no one else has really done it, is still so ingrained.
Yeah.
Like, it does not take you long
to
jump into this and go, I know exactly what I need to do and how to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps, of course, if you're using an old character, but, I mean, there is, you know, there's a consistency in this singular game that is just so enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, there's a lot of people who say, oh, this isn't maybe a true fighting game. And sure, I don't know. I don't know enough about fighting games to know whether or not that's true or not. I believe it. But for the experience of playing a fighting game with friends around a TV, co-op with a bunch of people randomly, I don't think that there is a single better option than this.
Yeah.
Other than, I mean, Mortal Kombat is, you know, outrageous as well. And I think the new Mortal Kombat, which you and I like, is partly catering to those audiences, but they necessarily have to piss off actual fighting game fans.
Yeah.
Whereas I think with Smash, it's much, much easier to straddle multiple fandoms in this case.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people who are really into fighting games will still love Smash, especially because they can play it with friends without feeling like they're totally dominating them. And at the same time, people who are really casual can play Smash and really, really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And this is always what Nintendo's excelled at, right? Yeah. Making a game that is
scalable.
Scalable and welcoming and super rewarding to multiple tiers of play. It's just so impressive every time.
Yeah.
And you knew it was coming when they announced the next Smash Brothers, and it's here, and I don't think it's disappointing in the slightest. Yeah.
All right, before we wrap up, we should actually talk about the controllers.
Yes.
So we were playing on
the gamepad. Yeah, so I've played with everything. I've played with Nunchuck. Mm-hmm. I've played with the...
How about a GameCube one?
No, I haven't. I guess I haven't played with the GameCube one. Yeah, that's true.
I was very uncomfortable, actually. Like, not having that GameCube controller, it affected me more than I thought it would. Yeah.
I got used to the tablet and the classic controller, but maybe that's just because I played a lot of it and I had to get used to it. I don't think it's that bad. I mean, of course, I'm dying to play with a GameCube controller. The playing with just the Wiimote is It's just absolute really? Garbage.
Yeah.
It's literally, I mean, I don't know. I guess we've all, are we all of agreement now that that's probably the worst designed controller ever made?
No, I mean, I think it's for the games, like...
I mean, if you're pointing at it, I guess.
I mean, I think, like, Super Mario Galaxy was great on that Wiimote really? And Nunchuck. Because you... What the Wiimote excelled at was general motion control. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're jumping, you have both your... You have your thumb doing one thing, your left thumb doing another thing. To get your extra spin boost, you just shook your right hand a little bit. And so it's like you can do two things at once. You don't need another finger to do the spin because you're shaking it a little bit. They use that a lot in Mario Kart for the Wii, which is probably the best part of that Mario Kart Wii thing. I think it lacks the face buttons. And so for something like that, I mean, it's really hard to play.
Yeah, it's. I felt after like 15 minutes, like my fingers had been beaten with rulers. Like it was just in such an uncomfortable position. The nunchuck, it's a little bit hard for me as well. But again, it could just be a familiarity. I haven't been playing on those devices for long.
Yeah, it's surprising to me how strong the muscle memory was. Like Smash Brothers was made in a way that probably is only second to something like The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time or Super Mario Brothers 64. Like, that game and that controller were made with each other in mind.
Right.
You know, like, the idea how your thumb overlaps from the smash button or the attack button and the jump button, so you don't have to move at all. You just rock back and forth.
Yeah.
Like, I mean... And, you know, the special button being slightly smaller and out of the way, so you have to think about how to use it. Like, I mean, there's something really special about how those two things were combined that is a big shock for, like, you know, a kind of dinosaur like myself, right? Like,
I even like the other directional pad to go do your easy smash. Like, for people who don't really know how to do a smash, that's really helpful.
Well, and that... I tried it out on the tablet. The second stick actually does the quick smash. Exactly. Like,
same with the classic controller.
It's just in a different position, and like it's
yeah, the positioning isn't great.
Yeah, it's shocking how close the hardware and the software feel. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ideal controller setup is GameCube controller, classic controller, tablet, nunchuck.
What a regular
stick,
like fucking stick your brick, and rocks your shitty put brick. Together. It's something like that. It also gives the game continuity in a way that, you know, like having a fighting game stick, it gives the game continuity in a way that even kind of the six button fighting games don't have, because, it's more about like, when you're playing a PC game, it's always like keyboard and mouse.
Yeah,
like it's StarCraft is always going to be played like that. There's never going to be a StarCraft game where you have a different configured device that you're playing on.
Yeah,
and so Smash Brothers is basically, in my head, Smash Brothers is the GameCube controller now. Like, the game might as well exist as software on the controller.
Yeah.
You know, like, playing it not on that is like, whoa, this is kind of weird. Like, why am I even doing this, you know?
It's so funny. I mean, that's exactly why the GameCube controller is only compatible with Smash for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, right.
And yet it's still worth getting. It's crazy.
Is it worth $100, though? Because on Amazon...
No, probably not. Probably not.
That's probably the last thing, though. I mean, I'm definitely going to... The game is on its way to me, theoretically, but... I feel
you already got it on the internet.
No, I mean, I got it over the mail.
Oh, right.
Young Mr. Amazon will be shipping that to me. But I mean, I was trying to wait until I could get that adapter, but who knows when that adapter is
exactly
ever
right.
Come out.
Yeah, I was planning on waiting as well. But...
Yeah, but I mean, like, if we wait, then we'll never be able to bet online on
Yeah, I mean, so any last highlights? I like the betting. I think the betting on other teams is really fun.
You can go online and bet on people as they play online.
Yeah, it tells you their, like, win rate and if they're.
What do you do with that currency?
You buy trophies. Yeah, you just buy bullshit trophies.
Man, if Nintendo were to have released this game for free but charged you for outfits, I think they could have made...
Hand over fist. More than they'd be making now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine you could, like, use that gold and trade it in to buy hats and stuff. But
you could just buy gold.
Yeah. They take the League or Dota or TF2 model where it's like, nothing you buy will change your... output. It will just look different.
I think that's where fighting games have to go. I would buy shit. Are you kidding me? Pikachu party hat? That's the only way to play.
It's like, oh no, not the pink Barty hat. Yeah. Oh, that's worth $2 easily. And like, by the, you know, people would, I don't know, I just feel like people would go through that stuff really quickly.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so you use gold to buy trophies.
Yep.
I just betting on people itself is hilarious.
Yeah, I think that's fun alone, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's Nintendo is bringing
sexy back?
They're bringing their sexy up to par, but then like in terms of online, going kind of above and beyond. Like, I feel like Mario Kart was a good case study of like, hey, you could just dump things straight to YouTube from this game.
Yeah.
It's a Nintendo game. That seems really weird.
Yeah, you know? And now gambling on spectator matches. League doesn't have that.
It's like money matches.
Yeah.
It's like it's like doing tournament culture, but enshrining it in a game that is considered to be one of the most casual fighting games, except you are doing one of the most hardcore things you can do.
Gambling.
Which is bet on people.
That's a special. That is a special thing.
All right. Well, this is probably a game that we'll come back to many times because I hear that they're actually patching it. Like, they're balance patching going forward.
Yeah, I don't imagine that's not true. And DLC, yeah. I'm sure. We'll see countless characters. Waluigi, maybe.
Eventually. Oh, one thing we did not test out. We did not test out Amiibos.
That's true.
We do not have any Amiibos.
TBD. I might go pick one up very soon.
Oh, man. That is a dark, dangerous path. It's a dark path to travel down. But we'll leave it there for now. I'm sure we'll probably check in with it every once in a while. Cause like I said, they're making some updates and also, you know, got to get those Amiibos.
Boy, howdy.
I want to know how skilled your Amiibo is in 6 months.
It's going to be elite.
Yeah. I think that like, I'll be playing online and see you and, you know, think, man, George's gotten amazing. Like, Scott, I wasn't even home that day.
Oh my God. My Amiibo was sentient.
My Amiibo booted up
Help
the game.
Me. George does terrible things with me.
ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address if you want to drop us a line.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our website. You can see all of our shitty custom-made stages from Smash Brothers up there.
Oh, and potentially some videos of us scrubbing it up.
Absolutely. YouTube, exp.net,
yep.
Twitch, sometimes, I guess, iTunes and Stitcher, too. Leave us a review.
Yep. All right, everyone. We will talk to you next week.
Bye. Every time.